Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Draftmas Eve. I hope you're all ready for all that is going to transpire starting tomorrow night right across the street. And fair warning, they have been testing some audio this afternoon. So you might hear some music or some announcements or some video being played in the background. It is ringing out throughout the neighborhood here on Shadow Lane. So apologies for that if that occurs, but man, it has really picked up a notch here in Green Bay today, the day before the draft. And I do want to give a quick shout out to everyone who showed up at the Bay Park Square Mall for our event this afternoon. That was a lot of fun. Big, big thanks to Andy Herman, Tom Grossi, and Matt Ramage for joining me and talking Packers, talking draft, talking the draft being in Green Bay, and for going through our mock draft. That was a lot of fun. For those of you who weren't in attendance and didn't get to experience it, it was thrilling to see exactly how the draft is going to play out tomorrow night, because that's what we did. We predicted all 32 picks correctly, including the Packers taking Shamar Stewart, which I know so many of you would be so thrilled about. So it was a lot of fun. Good times had by all. If you weren't able to make it this afternoon, but you are in the area and just need that Cheesehead TV connection in your life, make sure you're out at Stage 1 tonight. From 8 to 11 p.m., we got Carry the G on special. We'll have some Cheesehead TV giveaways, some special Packers guests throughout the evening. From 8 to 11 tonight, downtown Green Bay, Stage 1. Going to be a lot of fun. Hope you guys can make it. And if you can't, look, we'll be streaming these next two nights, Thursday and Friday, live for the first three rounds of the NFL draft here in Green Bay, right across the street from Lambeau Field and the big stage, the draft footprint. It is monstrous. It is huge. It is going to be a whole ton of fun. Hope you'll join us here on the YouTube channel. Hello to everybody chiming in the comments. So good to see everybody. Look, we got Tom up here, Jim, Eddie. What's going on? Banksy is here. What's up, Banksy? that is a fun question. Nags, do you believe Matt actually doesn't know who the Rizzler is? This is so funny you ask, and maybe you're a plant, maybe you're a troll. I don't know, but Dan literally texted me this morning and started with, "You're welcome." And I thought, oh no. And then he sent me the clip of LaFleur with the guys on Pardon My Take and the whole Rizzler clip. And he said, you know, this is what we do with our allotted time with an NFL head coach. We talk about the Rizzler. And I said, you know, to your point, Matt had no idea who that was. Let me tell you a little secret. I had no idea who that was. So, yes, I believe Matt probably didn't know. And look, if you've never talked to LaFleur, you find out very quickly he doesn't have a ton of outside interests outside of ball. And that's not to say that he doesn't have them. He has a few. But, yeah, he's not living online. And him not knowing who the Rizzler is totally tracks. And like I said, I had no idea who the Rizzler was. So, yes, I completely believe it. So that said, speaking of Matt LaFleur, obviously, the draft is important each and every year. And this class, we've talked a lot about the fact that it would be great if they had a few guys who could step in and be starters and contributors. But outside of the draft, pulling back a little bit, man, this is an important season for both Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. And it's something I talked a little bit at the tail end of my conversation with Justice this week. You know, I understand, you know, the draft is the crowning achievement for Mark Murphy on his way out the door, right? And this team, in the transition from Aaron Rodgers, has certainly probably been a tad ahead of schedule with the fact that they've made the playoffs 2 years in a row, went from 9 wins to 11 wins, though we all know their struggles against the better teams in the league last year. But given the fact that Mark Murphy will be retiring this summer and Ed Policy will be taking over somewhat in the middle of the contracts for both the GM and the head coach, who both report to Ed Policy or will be, this is a very important year for these two. To enable that kind of engender that confidence in Policy to say, look, we're headed in the right direction, right? I do not think for a moment that Policy is going to come in and rip it up, right? And completely change anything and everything. But I do think this first year under Policy's kind of watch is going to be extremely important for Matt and Brian to show their new boss that they are headed in the right direction, that this is a franchise and a program taking that next step, becoming more than just the youngest team in the league that is overachieving and making the playoffs. They have got to show, to Brian's point at the end of the year presser that he had, the ability to control football games and not always having these necessary moments of we got to make a frantic comeback because things fell apart early in the game. And I don't think there's any one thing responsible for that, but it certainly was a hallmark of their team last year. They have got to show that they have moved on from that. They have figured some things out as far as obviously on the offensive side of the ball, but also defensively in certain situational parts of the game. You know, you have to show that you're learning from your mistakes and stepping forward. And if you're unable to do that, and if it does look like they're somewhat stagnating or, God forbid, even taking a step back, then you got to think Ed Policy might start having second thoughts and or exerting a little bit of pressure on these guys. Again, I don't think, even regardless of what happens this year, I'm not sitting here saying Ed Policy is going to put them, quote, on the proverbial hot seat. But I do think it's a very important season for Matt and Brian to show that what they're doing is working and they are growing and continuing to develop as a program. After this, you know, the ripping of the Band-Aid, of trading Aaron Rodgers and going super young, they have somewhat overachieved these last 2 years, but they've got to continue the forward momentum of their football program. And, hey, a big part of that starts right here, Lambeau, the draft, tomorrow night. Very excited. And I'm very excited to talk to all of you fine folks here on Packers Daily in the comments section. What's going on, everybody? We've got a bunch of super chats, and we got Eddie chiming in. Thank you for being a Care of the G Club member. Does a number one wide receiver need to be the best in the room or just play the X position? Eddie, I think you'd probably get 10 different answers from 10 different people on this question, but I mean, it all depends on what your definition of a quote number one wide receiver. Traditionally, yes, you're thinking, most people are thinking of the guy at the X playing that spot and able to win on the perimeter, able to win one-on-ones, being clutch, quote unquote, on third downs in particular. I don't think you necessarily have to be in that position, but traditionally that's where it's occurred. But look, man, it could be they add to the perimeter, right, at the wide receiver group in this draft and then end up feeding Jaden Reed in a way they didn't last year. And then by proxy, Jaden Reed becomes the, quote, number one, even though he's not typically playing the X and much more of a slot guy. But, man, he did break Sterling Sharpe's reception record his rookie year. You know, for a rookie in his, you know, first season. I do not think for a moment that it's too big a job for Reed to handle that kind of workload, but he certainly wasn't given that chance last year. And when he was on the field, he was way too inconsistent down the stretch. That's something we've been talking about this offseason. He's got to take that next step in consistency because he's got all the talent in the world. You know, he can do it. He's just got to do it down in and down out, and especially in really important situations like third down. Banksy, I answer this first one. Next, do you believe Matt doesn't know who the Rizzler is? And will Green Bay's small town experience be overplayed by visiting media folk for clicks? I mean, you say for clicks, I say to try and illustrate the charm and the fun of the area, but yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know if it's for clicks. I mean, they are here to make money. They ain't doing this out of the goodness of their heart, but hey, I, you know, love this area. I love coming here and I love showing it off to people who've never been. And this is going to be a 3-day exercise of doing just that by the people on the ground. I would suspect, yeah, the media probably will follow suit to some extent, you know, and show off what makes Green Bay really unique. And what you're talking about is that thing. I mean, the fact that I am sitting in a residential house in a home right across from Lambeau Field illustrates that point perfectly. So maybe I'm doing exactly what you're talking about. Am I doing this for clicks? Or am I doing it for a deeper connection with Packers fans worldwide? The choice is yours. Joe has looked into his crystal ball and said it will be Derek Harmon. Interestingly enough, in our mock draft at the mall this afternoon, Harmon fell to the Eagles with the last pick in the first round. But I'm with you. I love it. I love the idea of it. I would love him terrorizing offenses in a Green Bay Packers uniform. Make it so. Andrew Ware, how are you, buddy? You know what I am ready for tomorrow night? One more player, my team to help us get 14. That's it. Also, who is the Rizzler? Signed a 36-year-old. Man, I don't have the mental capacity to tell you who the Rizzler is. I'm sure someone in the comments can handle that. But, yeah, please get on board. No matter who they draft, I understand it's probably maybe not who you wanted. Maybe you're a little disappointed. But, man, he's the newest member of the Green Bay Packers. Get on board. Root for the young man until he gets on a football field and let's see what he can do. You know, but until then, we've got a long stretch here in the spring where we can just be hopeful and excited why kill that yourself with these predetermined notions? And Andrew, obviously, I'm not talking to you. I know you agree. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. Really hope Green Bay has a good night. It's feeling like it's going to be, man. Really, like I said at the start here, it really kicked up a notch today around town. You can absolutely feel it. And that was after the humongous thunderstorm that went through this morning. It was a lot of fun. I was down in Appleton and listening to the thunder, and there was huge lightning and tons of rain. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And then that left Appleton and came up here to Green Bay. And I climbed in my car and drove up to go to the event. And I caught that rainstorm while driving, and whew, it was a doozy. But now, as you can see behind me, it is a beautiful sunny afternoon, and it sounds like it's going to be a gorgeous night in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's a big concert kicking off downtown tonight. De La Soul is here. Come on, in Green Bay? Cannot wait. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's downtown tonight. And yeah, the Cheesehead TV meetup, which is obviously the hottest ticket in town. You don't need a ticket. You can just show up. It's totally free. All right. JP, I was just talking about this. How's the vibe around town now that it's Wednesday? It's hopping. It is hopping. And the stuff around the stadium is really starting to come to life. But yeah, Green Bay proper, like downtown especially, has certainly, like I said, noticeably kicked it up. Simitovich, how are you, man? How closely do the Packers take a player adapting to Green Bay culture when drafting a guy? I mean, I think you mean how closely do they pay attention? Very different here. Travis Hunter loves Green Bay. Enjoy the draft. Could you imagine Travis Hunter in Green Bay? That would be glorious, but it's obviously not going to happen. I think there's something to that, the idea of finding guys who won't have a problem with living somewhat of a hermetic lifestyle comparative to what's on offer in other major cities and markets, right? I think that's absolutely part of it. I don't think that's a driver when it comes to considerations or like actually pulling the trigger on a prospect. But certainly that's part of what the pre-draft process is all about, is trying to get an idea of that mental makeup. And that starts with the area scouts, like back when these guys first started to arrive on campus and figure out what they're like, where they're from, what their aspirations are, and how you think as a program they're going to kind of fit not only in your building, but yeah, also in the community. It's certainly, you know, something they talk about, but again, it's not a driver in the decision-making process. What's up, Chet? How are you, man? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. I remember literally reading Pro Football Weekly to get my content 20 years ago. We come a long way. God bless you, Nags. Man, the old Bushbaum days, that was the Bible. I remember just every year when that thing came out, the Pro Football Weekly draft guide, I would devour it. Even when Noraki took it over, man, that was the absolute kind of most legit source. And you would just devour that thing. I remember just basically like stalking Barnes and Noble, waiting for it to arrive, right? Every spring. Man, that's a blast from the past. And you're right. We've come a long way. We've come a long way because we got things that are completely 100% devoted to the favorite team of each, you know, franchise, etc. But none more so than the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Get your copy. You got 24 hours to become the smartest person at your draft party.
Who are the Green Bay Packers going to draft? Find out from the original draft guide by fans for fans. Available from Cheesehead TV for the 15th season in a row. Hundreds of prospects analyzed with an eye towards their fit with the Green Bay Packers. We've got mock drafts, big boards, featured articles, tons of content for you, the Green Bay Packers fan. Get yours today.
That's right. There's a link in the description of the video, people. Get your draft guide. It's a digital download. You'll get it instantly. PDF right to your computer. You can start tearing into it right now, tonight, prior to tomorrow's draft. Get on it, people. JP, thanks for the super chat, man. I bet you'll be able to hear the AJ Hawk chants all the way from the McAfee show set tomorrow. I mean, I haven't heard officially where their set's going to be, but I think you're probably correct. I know they're going to be in the draft footprint, and undoubtedly when AJ appears, local legend, you will definitely hear the chants. No doubt about it. Simitovich, I like it. How about that Craig Yoho guy? I mean, he can sling it, right? I'm liking what I see so far. That's an interesting question, Bob. Hey, Nags, are you a New Jersey resident? No, I am a New York City resident. But I was just in New Jersey to go to Medieval Times with my daughter. How's that? Jaguars are really going to take a running back top five and continue to be terrible. That's so funny you mentioned that. We were talking about that at the mall event today, like how all of a sudden this is the buzz, right? That they're going to take Genty. Man, I'll be surprised. I understand new coach, new GM, and they got an offensive mind, play caller, et cetera, on their head as their head coach. Man, I would still be shocked. I mean, it's the Jaguars, so yes, the Jaguars going to Jaguars maybe, but I can't fathom a new general manager in 2025 making his first selection for his dream job. He's got it, and now he's going to take a running back at 5? Never say never, right? It happens every year, things that you don't expect and you think are crazy. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but man, it would be surprising. Oh, Soder, hell yeah. Delivery of my Packer report was always like 2 weeks behind. Pro Football Weekly was more prompt. 100%. I would get weekly every week the, you know, I almost call it a pamphlet, but it was paper, right? And it came to your mailbox every week. But yeah, I remember Corey was subscribed to Packer Report, and we would get his Packer Report subscription usually the day before, which was about last Sunday's game. We'd get it the next Saturday. So we'd pour over it, see if there's anything we missed, right? But yeah, the delivery of content has gotten a little bit more timely, no doubt about it. Bo, I love this question. Any thoughts on Luther Burden? I understand he is a somewhat polarizing prospect, right? I think you've heard a lot about what he can't do. I love what he can do. I do think he's got a lot of potential and could really help a team from the slot. I'd be absolutely shocked if the Packers were in on him. But yeah, again, I come from that school. Don't tell me what he can't do. Tell me what he can do. Now, I know he's getting a lot of buzz about possibly going in the first round. That feels really rich to me, but that's just to me. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Carl, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, just wanted to say I hope things go smoothly for you, Corey, and the Cheesehead TV team. I'm okay with whoever the pack picks first. Carl, that's such a healthy attitude. And look, I don't ever want it to seem like I'm just killing anybody who wants a certain prospect. I get that idea, and you are Godspeed, right? I just think it's a lot healthier and a lot kind of more positive to, you know, kind of free yourself of that. I'm with you, Carl. Like, I'm good with whoever they select. Now, there are selections I'd enjoy and probably get more excited about than others, but man, I'm not going to condemn anybody the minute they're taken. I'm going to let it play out. Just how I work. Brandy, thanks for the super chat. I would have given out a bunch of 50-year-old weirdo shirts and have them surround the Pat McAfee broadcast. Yeah, I thought about doing some kind of stunt like that, but look, it is, and you guys know, I talk about this all the time. It's not about me. It's not about Cheesehead TV. It's about those guys in there. It's about these kids, and they are kids still, I'm sorry, who are realizing a lifelong dream when they hear their name and they walk across that stage. Any beef or nonsense that's going on online, especially between me or anybody else, means absolutely nothing this week, you know, and really pretty much any week. But I did have the thought, I'm not going to lie, I am human. I did have the thought of doing some kind of stunt like that, but A, it's not worth it. And B, you know, like I said, it's about them. These are the people we're here to celebrate. It's certainly not some random internet beef. Let's see what we got here, folks. Aaron, you do so much work for us. Has the level of work you now do regarding the Packers hurt your love of the Packers now that it's a job? I've gotten this question a few times over the years. No, not really. I mean, it certainly has me looking at the team and the franchise in a different light because I know certain things or people associated with the team, and I certainly have a different kind of handle on how it works and what they're doing. But yeah, no, man, I've absolutely, if anything, this has increased my love of the Green Bay Packers. I do get a little tired about narratives surrounding the franchise and some of the anger and like negativity and pessimism that I see associated with the Packers at times. Although I get it, sometimes it is warranted. They're not infallible. They absolutely are not above reproach. But yeah, no, man, I love the Packers. I've talked about it many times. It's like family to me. You know, I was talking to Matt Ramage about that today. And so, you know, I may bitch and moan about certain aspects of the Packers, but if I hear other people, especially other fans talking about, you know, opposing fans talking about the Packers, well, you best, you know, believe I'm going to step up. I'm going to tell you what's what. That's my family back there, you know? And look, I get it. Eventually someone's going to say, and people have before, well, it's a multi-million dollar
industry, you know, like it's just a corporation that thinks nothing of you and blah, blah, blah. And I get that. You're right. It is a cold ass business and they don't give a fuck what I'm saying over here, what I'm doing or how I feel about them. But I also know that the bond is very real. And I know that because I talked to people today who showed up for our event, who are just incredibly excited and happy to connect to the Packers in what I consider a pretty unique way and Cheesehead TV. So the pessimism, the cynicism, I get it. I try to participate less and less in it. But yeah, no, the love of the Packers, that hasn't waned in any way, shape, or form. Maybe changed a little bit, but definitely not different. Banksy, good question. Nags, are you a Will Johnson guy? I'd be happy with the pick. I wouldn't be terribly excited with it, but I understand why they would make that selection. I think he's going to be a very good player. I know there are questions, and there always are, especially with a lot of these early corners in this draft. But hey, I've been talking all offseason that they need more talent in that room, so I'm not going to turn around and be upset when they add more talent to that room. You know, I'm fine with that. Ayahuasca, how you doing? Thanks for the super chat. For the first time in a long time, I don't have draft crush, and it's sort of liberating. Just wait for the draft and have new players to root for. I'm for a big guy in the first round, though. Go Pack, go. I think that's a healthy attitude, and I'm with you. I really hope they get someone along the defensive line, and that's what I'm talking about, like the Will Johnson question. Like, I'd like it. I'd understand it, but man, I'm really hoping for another big ugly, another guy. And honestly, I don't care if it's on offense or defense. I want somebody in the trenches that can help them win football games. That's my big hope. And yeah, if that makes it an offensive lineman, totally fine with that. Soder, what's going on? Being a Packer fan is my job. That other thing I do is just about the money. There you go. I love it. I mean, that's, who am I? Who amongst us has not thought this way? Oh, Joe, what's up? Will Green Bay treat Goodell better than other cities? If you mean by that, that he doesn't get booed tomorrow night, I don't like those odds. I don't think that it will be as ferocious, maybe, but he'll get booed. It's, at this point, it's just tradition, you know? Falco, thanks for the super chat, man. Hey, Nags, longtime listener. Hope you enjoy the next few days. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you, man. Really, really appreciate it. That's very kind of you. Brandy, is Wisconsin out of brats yet? Hell no. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Hope to see you tonight at Stage 1, 8 to 11 p.m. If you're in the Green Bay area, really hope you can stop by, even for a minute. Say hello. The rest of you, thank you so much. I'll see you tomorrow night on the draft stream. Go Pack, go.